C1R.
Number 14B.
All right. Now we have come to the end of this answer. And now if we look over our notes that we have made of these five paragraphs, now if we feel that we have really touched the piece of it and not the side issue, then really there should be a line of reasoning it, a logical line of reasoning it, and if we take it now, I think we will find that a very nice line of reasoning, namely, first, so we still have to always know the question, is it necessary to understand? Is it necessary to understand in order to heal the sick? Well, the answer naturally always first comes, but Jesus healed. Did he know it? And so first, Mrs. Eddy had to present that Jesus actually did demonstrate the power of mind over matter, the control over matter, but he only could do it through the Christ. Through the Christ. And this Christ is the understanding. So at his time he didn't say, he didn't use the term understanding, science or so, but it was the understanding of truth, which was the Christ. So she had to go further and say, now I lift it up to the present age of the scientific age, after I've shown what happened 2,000 years ago. Now today that Christ is the truth, and that truth heals through the divine mind. That's the new Christ of today, the scientific Christ of today, that the Christ truth heals through mind. That was the second paragraph. She goes on and says, and this is actually the one and the only power of healing, namely, this mind transcends all other healing powers, all other healing methods. All right, it transcends them. But she feels there must be something more to it. I must show them that this must be understood, that we can't leave Christianity on the level of a religious belief, but that this science, that Christianity, must be understood. So the next paragraph, she showed that she had to attach the term science to Christianity, and no matter if the ancient verse did heal through the spirit of Christian Science, today we have to know the absolute letter of Christian Science. So the epitome we had there was, therefore, that mind must be understood through its science, so that that truth is understood as a science. Well, and in the last paragraph then, that she felt, and if we honor really this science, then, and give deep devotion to it, and have a deep felt attitude toward it, we'll be able to demonstrate that more and more, until really the science of mind is demonstrated in an absolute way. The science of mind demonstrates science absolutely. This is the answer to the question. Do I have to understand it? Can you see that these epitomes here have a common denominator? They always run, so to say, with the tone of truth, mind, science, right through, and give a good line of reasoning. Now, I have said this is naturally only so if we really can epitomize each paragraph correctly. And we have seen that we could also epitomize it incorrectly. Say, if we had taken out of that first paragraph that which appealed perhaps to an inspirational sense, that angels announced this dual appearing of Jesus, and that it whispers always, if we had taken that as an epitome, and then in the second paragraph perhaps that statement of Mrs. Eddy that error cannot heal error, that error will all, what was it, will, oh yeah, that error will not expel error. We could have taken that as a second one. As a third one, perhaps we could have taken out that passage that you must not be ignorant of the moral and spiritual qualifications. And if we have taken out of the fourth one, perhaps that thing about the ancient worthy, because that's such a beautiful sentence, you know, that the ancient worthy had the spirit of Christian Science. And perhaps out of the last paragraph we would have perhaps been touched by what she says here, that Christian Science perhaps honors God as no other theory honors it. If you had taken that out, would you have a story? A story that runs from the angel's whisper that to error will not expel error, to having spiritual and the moral qualifications for healing, to the point that the ancient worthy were already healing with the spirit of Christian Science, to the last one where we say that Christian Science only honors God as no other theory honors it. Would that answer the question, are these explanations necessary? Do we have to understand this explanation to heal? No. Did I go too fast? No, I think you could catch it. That it would not give a consistent answer, a consistent line of reasoning. And this is what naturally we have to culture, and it's I tell you, it is not for everybody easy to epitomize a text, be it the Bible text or the Christian Science textbook text. It, for some students it seems to be difficult, for others it's a bit more easy, but it's an art that has to be learned, because not for its own sake, but because this art can only be learned when we can really read a text so that we can catch the subject of a text and not the meaning of the sentences. This is a great difference. So up to now, usually the student of Christian Science has tried to catch the meaning of a sentence. Now he has to drop that. Or he doesn't have really to drop it. It's nice to understand further sentence, but that's not the purpose. He has to understand the subject of a paragraph, and not just to understand the meaning of a sentence. And to understand really the pith of a paragraph means that one can weigh in one's consciousness really what is important and what is not important. What is the nucleus of something and what is the garnish round about it. Yes. Well, that's the question that we have answered. So we go to the next one. It's a short, and so we can take it rather quickly. The 18th question, Christianity as the Word, is, does Christian Science or metaphysical healing include, and then the whole series, medication, material hygiene, mesmerism, hypnotism, theosophy, or spiritualism? You can see in the question right away that she has two classifications of wrong healing methods, material healing methods and mental healing methods. First the material one, medication, material hygiene, then the mental ones, mesmerism, hypnotism, theosophy or spiritualism. So she says more or less, does spiritual healing include also the two other degrees of healing, namely the mental healing and the material healing? Or is spiritual healing free from mental and material healing? So the answer is, not one of them is included in it. Because he makes a very clear-cut statement of that there is only spiritual healing. In divine science, the supposed laws of matter, so she takes up now the material means of healing in this paragraph, then later on in the next paragraph, the mental means of healing. So here first the material means of healing, and says divine science, in divine science the supposed laws of matter must yield to the law of divine mind. Mind heals, we have learned in the preceding question, not through the laws of matter. Then she just goes on explaining why laws of matter have no healing power. What are termed natural signs and material laws are the objective states of mortal mind. She says they are anyway only mind stuff. Material means are not matter. They are not material. They are mind stuff. See, they are only objective states of mortal mind. Again, the physical universe, we are still at the point of Christianity, the physical universe expresses the conscious and unconscious thoughts of mortals. Wow! One sentence on one line. And defining the whole universe. We have only a mental universe and not the material universe. And you see how that whole Christianity is now brought back to a statement that the universe is really a mental universe, not a material universe, consisting of conscious and unconscious thought. Today, psychology explains that very clearly, states that our whole world is actually a view of the conscious consciousness, of the subconscious consciousness, of the collective unconsciousness, of archetypal consciousness, of universal subconsciousness. All that constitutes the realm, the universe in which we live, and she just comes with one single sentence and says, well, that physical universe is the conscious and unconscious thoughts of mortals. So physical force and mortal mind are just one. That's naturally then the conclusion from that premise. That physical force, therefore why physical force? Because she says, well, one believes that the drug has a physical force to accomplish something. It's not just matter, it's a material force. It goes and does something and can handle somehow those things that need to be handled in the body. But they are nothing else but mortal mind, because they are one. Drugs and hygiene oppose the supremacy of the divine mind. Yeah, because drugs and inert matter are unconscious, mindless. Certain results supposed to proceed from drugs are really caused by the faith in them, which the false human consciousness is educated to feel. So again, she gives a short answer to that what she has elaborated long ago in the sixth chapter on medicine. Here just in a nutshell saying, yes, certain results that seem to proceed from drugs, certain healings that seem to proceed from material medicine, they are really caused by the faith in them. We know them with the placebos, and that they have in most cases the same or even a better effect, so that not matter does something, but the faith in the pellets really do the trick, and so they are caused by the faith in them, which the false human consciousness is educated to feel. So this is a very easy subject, we know that, but it's nice here to see its place value, that she now begins to show that in this healing work, really, that whole universe of matter is actually only a universe of mortal thought, and that matter itself has no force, no independent power to accomplish something. Everything which seems to be material is anyway only mental. And the next paragraph shows the mental nature again. Mesmerism, see now she comes to mesmerism, at the top of the at the top of this paragraph, the question talked about mesmerism, hypnotism, theosophy, spiritualism. She doesn't deal in the text then with hypnotism, she doesn't deal with theosophy and spiritualism, but just put them together into one term, into mesmerism or animal magnetism. So mesmerism is mortal material illusion. So we trace it back again to illusion. Animal magnetism is either the voluntary or involuntary action of error in all its form. So we have here animal magnetism as voluntary action, either as intentional animal magnetism or ignorant animal magnetism, and it is the human antipode of divine science. So she shows that Christian science or divine science really excludes them. Science must triumph over material sense and truth over error, thus putting an end to the hypotheses involved in a false theory and practice. The side note is animal magnetism error. So the answer to the question, does Christian science include them? The answer is no. Divine science does not include any lower means of healing, neither material means of healing nor mental heals means of healing. And in so far, this question does not give us any great problem to think about. Yes. Okay. So that brings us to the end of Christianity. With the next question, we come to science. So before we start with science, I think we just have a little run over our findings in Christianity, especially if we take, well, let's take the whole tone of Christianity. If we take our epitomes on our sheet of paper, this one, and then we see the third side of the holy city is what? Is the outcome of the Christ idea. What is that outcome? It's the universe, inclusive man. Is that outcome divine reality? What is it? So the main tone about the whole Christianity is that we consider now divine reality. Is that divine reality spiritual? Is it material? Is it mental? Is it psychic? What is it? From the point of view of Christian science, starting first with the proof leading back to statement, Christian Science, therefore, on the level of Christian Science, that reality is shown as the unreality of sinful, corporeal humanity. So the whole subject is now, what is humanity? What is the universe of matter and people and things? What is it? And the answer is that that corporeal humanity is unreal. All right, if it is unreal, then can we prove that? So the first question and answer, Christianity as Christianity, we had the question, what is sin, sickness and death? And her answer is that Jesus came to prove the unreality of sin, sickness, and death. That's Christianity as Christianity. He came to prove it in the level of on the level of Christian Science, that he could show them as unrealities. How could he prove it? We come to the next question of the Christ, namely to show that there is a Christ in this Christianity. That was the question, what is man? And in that question, what is man, Mrs. Eddy showed that with a right idea of man and the universe, we really can save man and the universe from its sin, sickness and death, from a false concept of a mortal. So we had that whole question of what is man, answering really that man is a spiritual idea. Oh yes, by the way, we could run through it, and I would like to make a bet that you know now what is in that question. Huh? Without looking down, huh? Shall we? I said yesterday when I read through it, we will never forget it. So let's go quickly over it. And we have no notes, but because we only know one thing, that man is at the point of Christianity and therefore is defined in the glossary through spirit, soul, mind. And therefore we know what? We know that man is spiritual, not material. Therefore, if he is only spiritual, he is of the nature of idea, of the perfect idea, not just idea, but of a perfect idea. And therefore, if we would like to know what the perfect idea is, we just run through the seven synonymous term, and so we see that therefore man is what? He's the idea of perfection. He is what? He's spiritual, he's the compound idea reflecting all ideas. He is at the point of soul, he's what? The identity, he's generic man, just one man. There are not many men, one man, the generic term, the identity man. At the point of principle, that man is founded and based and fixed in principle in science. At the point of life, that man must be eternal. At the point of truth, that heir has all the qualities that God has. He has not one quality that is not underived from God. And therefore, at the point of love, that he has all that God has. All is reflected in him. That was the tone of spirit in its perfection. Then we know that this goes to soul and says, but that idea has dominion. Let us make man in the image and likeness of God that has dominion. So we began to see that first we have to see what has dominion over what. That the immortal has dominion over the mortal. That the immortal is the identity of soul, that the mortals are a counterfeit of God. Therefore, in the measure that we understand that one man, the immortal man, that mortal man disappears and immortal man appears. How does he appear? When we see that man through the rule of soul as having no selfhood and living outside of material selfhood. Then we come to the point of mind where we begin to see that he is in the realm of the kingdom of God, in the realm of ideas. Therefore we must behold him, and Jesus beheld man as the perfect man, where otherwise we could see the mortal man. And this correct view healed the sick. It heals us from a false appearing, from a false seeming, and establishes a true idea man. That's what we learned there. And we knew it now right away again. We don't have to memorize things. We just have to flow along the categories in which they are written. So there we had a sense of Christianity as the Christ, namely the healing of the freeing ourselves of a false sense of man. Which then brought us to the next question, which we had yesterday, about that, what our body and soul, to the incorporeal word, saying that really the world consists of an incorporeal world and not of a body world, and that it is therefore a world of soul. So that was, and that we should have soul sense. So at that point we had, so to say, the bridge over to absolute Christian Science, where the question was, does brain think and do nerves feel, and is there intelligence in matter? Is there a sentient universe? And she began to show, no, there isn't such a thing. Now we come to the no, and to the yes, and to the no, and to the yes, to the absolute statement, saying, no, there isn't such a sentient universe. There is only one universe, that's the universe of soul sense. And therefore you have to look at the universe through soul sense. But does that do anything? So the Christianity as the Christ comes along, which we had just today, to these, was this explanation be understood? So that we can heal, saying, yes, they must be understood, because through that soul sense we get enough spiritual understanding to see that really the truth heals through mind, and that we must understand that truth as a science, so that we have the science of mind healing. Bringing us now to the last question, saying, and this science of mind healing does not include any other method of healing. So that none of these methods like materia medica, hypnotism, hygiene, theosophy, spiritualism must be included. The spiritual healing, the spiritual method of healing does not need any material method of healing, nor a mental method of healing. It is purely spiritual, and that's spiritual reality.